This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
We'll join WSMI Farm Director Angela Besch for part two of the Morning Farm Show in just a few minutes. First of all, on the Chicago Board of Trade Wednesday, March wheat ended at 6.11 and a half, down 24. May wheat ended at 6.15 and a quarter, down 23 and a quarter. July wheat ended at 6.16 and a half, down 22 and a half. March corn on Wednesday ended at 4.07 and three quarter, down 6 and a quarter. May corn ended at 4.16 and a quarter, down 6 and a quarter. July corn ended at 4.23, down 5 and a half. January soybeans Wednesday ended at 10.28 and three quarter, down 9 and three quarter. March beans ended at 10.35 and a quarter, down 10 and a half. May beans ended at 10.42 and a half, down 10 and three quarter. January soybean meal Wednesday ended at 3.71.40, up a penny. March meal, 355.70, down 26. May meal ended at 347.80, down 31. January soybean oil on Wednesday ended at 31.93, down 29. March oil, 32.05, down 31. May oil ended at 32.27, down 31. March oats on Wednesday ended at 307 and three quarter, down one and a quarter. May oats ended at 310 and a half, down a penny. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for a recap of the cash grain markets.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday's Grain Market Report. The Illinois country grain prices ended lower on Wednesday afternoon. Wheat turned down on technical selling, which undermined corn and soybeans and sent the Board of Trade prices lower. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down 6 to 8 cents at 368 to 388. Soybean bids were 10 to 11 lower at 981 to 1013. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn 3 to 7 lower at 373 to 392. Soybean bids down 9 to 10 cents at 1004 to 1041. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were down 3 to 5 cents at 380 to 394, soybeans 10 cents lower at 1011 to 1039, and the wheat bids dropped 24 to 26 cents at 510 to 577. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids 10 cents lower at 1024 to 1039, basis steady range from 5 under to 10 over the January. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered in a range of $3.96.40 to $4.26.40, and basis ended steady at $25 to $55 over the January. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids down 6 cents at $3.96 to $4.08, with basis steady range from 12 under to option the March. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 6 cents lower at $3.88 to $3.94. Basis steady range from 20 to 14 under the March. Soybeans down 10 cents at 10.33 to 10.41, with basis unchanged at 4 to 12 over the January. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids 6 cents lower at 4.13 to 4.14. These same elevators lowered their soybean prices by 10 to 11 cents, with quotations at 10.62 to 10.63. Soft red winter wheat lost 24 cents to 6.11 to 6.12, and Milo down 6 at 4.58 to 4.63. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those regions for new crop corn range from 3.87 up to 4.03. New crop soybean bids at 9.55 to 9.85. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from 386 up to 403, new crop soybean bids at 973 to 989, and in the southern part of the state, new crop corn bids range from 386 to 403, new crop bean bids at 956 to 985, and wheat bids for June-July delivery in southern Illinois, those range from 558 up to 587. That completes our country grain report for Wednesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Livestock futures on the Chicago Board of Trade for Wednesday, February hogs ended at 81.30, down 35. April hogs 83.67, down 12. May hogs ended at 86.57, down 40. January feeder cattle Wednesday ended at 214.75, down 237. March feeders 212.72, down 255. April feeders 213.52, down 242. December cattle on Wednesday ended at 162.50, up 65. February cattle 160.57, down 2. April cattle 159.40, down 22. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for a recap of the cash livestock markets.
Thank you. This is David Humphreys, the Illinois Department of Agriculture, with Wednesday, the 24th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for 200-pound pork carcass traded $1.05 lower, in a range of $67.50 to $76, with a weighted average carcass price of $74.33. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows are trading steady, with moderate demand for moderate to light offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded at 37 to 43, 4 to 5 weight at 41 to 46, 5 to 6 weight at 44 to 47, and over 600 pounds at 48 to 50. In the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points are trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $46 to $54. Receipts for Illinois hogs have totaled today $11,068. Fairview's sale barn auction report for Tuesday, December 23rd, compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers sold a dollar lower. Slaughter cows sold 3 to 15 lower. Receipts were $187. Slaughter steers choice at 154 to 160. Slaughter steers select and choice at 150 to 153. Slaughter Holstein steers select at 121.50 to 133. Slaughter heifers choice at 154.50 to 160.50. And slaughter cows premium average dressing at 128 to 131.50. Breakers average dressing at 150 to 108.75. Boners at 104 to 112 and a quarter. And leans 87 to 96. And slaughter bulls average dressing yield grade 1 at 120 to 130. From the National Daily Direct Pork FOB plant report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 413 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $86.93, which was 59 cents lower. The National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses were $242.60, which was $3.24 higher, with select carcasses at $231.26, which was $1.04 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 44,000 compared to 101,000 last week and zero for 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 187,000 compared to 430,000 last week and zero for 1 year ago. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys, the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Bovine respiratory disease, or BRD, costs the cattle industry hundreds of millions of dollars each year and can affect cattle in all stages of the growth cycle. Merck Animal Health Technical Services veterinarian Dr. Brant Meyer went over a new one-of-a-kind vaccine that can help farmers protect their cattle from this costly disease.
That's correct. I mean, BRD costs the industry about $800 million a year. It affects calves, nursing the cow, all the way through the stock or feedlot sector, and adult cattle can get it as well. And so we launched a new product, a 1-SPMH-IN. It's the only intranasal vaccine that protects against two major bacterial pathogens, Mannheimia and Pasteurella. And so we're excited about it. It's a novel way to introduce this vaccine to the immune system. The other products on the market, the competitive products, are parenteral or go sub-Q with that. And so we're removing that stressful effect of vaccination going intranasally with this product.
That must be a very interesting but also easier way of administering it, for sure.
Yeah, it's very simple. I mean, it's 1 cc per nose or 2 cc's in one nose. And so it's quick and easy, and you get that protection where the bacteria normally come into the calf to cause the disease. And so it's there where it needs to be when it first comes in. So that's what we like about it.
And are you looking at specific ages for the livestock to ideally administer this?
That's what's nice about 1-SPMH-IN. It's very flexible. We have an age of 1 week we can start using this product all the way up to an adult cow. So we can cover the whole variety of production systems. And so it's being used in the feedlot sector, used on calves, nursing the cow. It's used quite a bit in the dairy industry as well to prevent the two major bacterial pathogens.
Very good. And for those who want to know more about BRD, can you cover the basics of what it is and how cattle can first start displaying symptoms of it, and then how producers can hope to prevent it?
Okay, BRD, bovine respiratory disease, it's a complex of bacterial and viral pathogens causing some lesions and pathology. But what sets it off is, first, you need an immune system that's working, and that goes back to nutrition. It goes back to the cow-calf side, getting those cow herd vaccinated properly, and make sure those calves get adequate colostrum. That sets everything off in a good way. If that's deficient, nutrition, colostrum deficient, the immune systems tend to be crippled for the rest of their life, and then when they get stressed later on in different production systems, that's when the viruses can take hold, and then the bacteria comes in and then makes it worse. And so by using vaccines, we can help alleviate those issues, but we definitely got to look at husbandry and management of the cattle.
Again, that was Merck Animal Health Technical Services veterinarian Dr. Brant Meyer. With the new year approaching, many associations are taking this time to review the 2014 year. I spoke with Mike Kruger of the Midwest Dairy Association for their year in review and plans for 2015.
Great partnerships have been developing under the checkoff program, both nationally and Midwest Dairy Association. We had our annual meeting a couple of weeks ago, and Domino's, Pizza Hut, McDonald's, Taco Bell, Quaker Oats, and now even Coca-Cola have come to a dairy farmer meeting to tell dairy farmers how they're selling dairy products. So that's pretty exciting. It talks about, you know, the power of the relationship and what dairy farmers bring to those relationships in terms of innovative ideas for dairy products, marketing knowledge that we have relative to dairy farmers and these dairy products, and these big companies are leveraging those that information and really making an impact out in the marketplace in terms of dairy consumption.
That's interesting that you have managed to grab Coca-Cola, a soda pop company, looking into dairy products.
Well, Coca-Cola is not only a soda pop company, but they have a lot of different lines in the beverage business, obviously water and orange juice with Minute Maid, etc. And they're looking at new dairy products as being a growth opportunity for them in the market. So it's not necessarily competing against gallon jugs and the half-gallon jugs that you see in the grocery store. It's more about some of the new value-added products, single-serve, extended shelf life, high calcium, high protein, really developing new product lines that are going up actually against some of our competitors in the marketplace.
Very good. So that'll definitely be interesting to see. And I know that companies that are primarily known as soda pop companies, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, they have been struggling with millennials in particular, because as a generation, they're drinking less pop and they're drinking more of other sorts of beverages. So I'm sure that this is a good diversification tool for them.
Yeah, no, there's a massive amount of competition in the beverage business, and particularly among millennials. And you're right, millennials are moving away from the traditional carbonated soft drinks and looking for more healthful products like dairy. And, it might not be traditional milk in the way we've always perceived it, but, in a lot of different product lines that are meeting those millennials' needs is what the industry is looking at.
And, of course, the Domino's partnership, I think, was very well displayed over the past year with their Domino's pizza boxes.
Absolutely. I mean, that's really one of the cool things about that relationship is they not only value adding cheese and dairy to their menus, they also value aligning with dairy farmers and dairy farmer values for how those products are, how those products are produced. You look at those Domino's pizza boxes, they talk about cows, they talk about dairy farmers, and they really understand the power of the image that dairy farmers have with consumers.
So where is the Midwest Dairy Association? Where are they hoping to move themselves into the future? What are your future plans?
You know, I think it's all about growing in the new areas that we are currently focused on. We're all about We're all about growing sales, innovation, and consumer confidence. And that means being innovative in the marketplace, which also will drive sales. And driving sales really depends upon trust that consumers have in not only our dairy products, but also the dairy farm production practices that are used to produce those products. So dairy farmers have a great story to tell, and we work hard at helping them tell it.
Very good. Well, Mike, is there anything else you'd like to touch on before we go here today?
You know, one of the things that I think we're really excited about, too, is the dairy farmers' commitment to child health and wellness. We're coming up on the 100th anniversary of the National Dairy Council, which is, you know, the arm of the Dairy Farmer Checkoff program that focuses on schools and health, and particularly child health and wellness programs. It's represented by a program called Fuel Up to Play 60. We're in literally thousands of schools in the state of Illinois, and almost 2 million kids are involved in those programs. So that is really exciting.
Again, that was Mike Kruger of the Midwest Dairy Association. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.